Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Jason Smith, director of the Manhattan, or excuse me, president and CEO of the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. Get it right on that.
Director's fine. I answered or whatever. Okay. Head bottle washer or whatever.
Well, we're chatting here today. Of course, a budget request was made at the City Commission meeting on Tuesday, $150,000 less request being made by the Chamber. And getting kind of back to that sales tax issue, Jason, I know you had some more comments on that and how it's going to benefit.
So, we talked a little bit about, I think, the differences in the county versus the city. And again, the chamber is not taking a position on this, but some people might be curious why the city would not just be immediately signing on to the county renewal. It's not because the city and the county commissioners don't like each other. It's not because they're not willing to cooperate. There is a sizable amount of sales that are subject to sales tax in that are made in Manhattan that are actually in Pottawatomie County. So if you think about some of the big box stores, Walmart and Menards and Academy and all those businesses that are on the east side of Manhattan, they actually are in Pottawatomie County. And so the Raleigh County Economic Development Sales Tax is only collecting sales tax on sales made on the Raleigh County side. So there is a sizable amount of revenue that the city believes that they should consider taking a look at, just based on, because again, it's City of Manhattan sales on what they can collect on the east side. And ideally, I think, in a perfect world, you could get both parties to sit down and hammer out an agreement. But the problem, as is usually the case, the state statutes don't allow the local governing entities to sit down and make the deal that would be beneficial to all parties. The statutes are pretty restrictive on how you can have governing bodies. And I'm sure there's some legitimate reasons for that. The problem is, in our scenario, there's not many places like Manhattan that are located in two county jurisdictions. And so in our scenario, that those statutes make things a lot more challenging than it would, say, for maybe another community in Kansas or a community in another state. So there are some legitimate discussions that could potentially take place, or should probably potentially take place, on the proper way to do that. And the problem is, again, the statutes that from the state government won't necessarily allow you to do that. So it's unfortunate, but it's something that I think everyone has to take a look at. Do we want to renew the economic development sales tax? And the chamber believes there are a number of valid reasons why that would be important, that we've used this mechanism over the last 25 years to create a lot of new jobs in this community and create a lot of economic vitality in this community, and we think there's an opportunity going forward to, particularly now when things are such an enormous challenge, that now more than ever we need to make sure we're investing in attracting new jobs and new high-paying jobs and new residents. So we think there's a valid reason to consider it. So that's the first question, and then the second question is, okay, which makes the best sense for what we're trying to accomplish. And I'm not sure that I'm obviously the county supporters have their feeling about that, and the city supporters have their feeling about that. And I think as a community, we need to have that conversation and see what makes the most sense. One of the things that we discussed with the commission at their meeting on Tuesday, there was some conversation about how to distribute the funds and how to divide them. Obviously, everyone is 100% supportive maintaining a certain percentage of those funds for property tax reduction. Those that benefits the entire community, whether you're a business, whether you're a homeowner, whether you're a renter, and the rents are based upon that individual's expenses, which includes property taxes. Property tax reduction is obviously going to help everybody. The way the current language reads on the economic development sales tax is two-thirds of the fund can be used for economic development or infrastructure. And that's been used, I think, very effectively. The challenge has been that there's never been a clear consensus on what percentage should be set aside for each. And so you have a group of people who are very supportive of economic development who want to be able to be nimble enough to react to opportunities in the same way we did with MBAS, where we had a pretty sizable amount to be able to commit to that project and win it over cities much larger than us. And now we're going to see the benefits of that versus individuals who want to be able to use that to help offset infrastructure costs. And there's valid reasons for each. And so what we have suggested is let's designate a certain percentage for jobs, and let's designate a certain percentage that would be much larger, designate a certain percentage for infrastructure, so that we don't have that, tension between those two sides on an annual basis. And it's been interesting. There's individuals on both sides of that who see that as a positive. And so going forward, I think whether we do it this fall, whether we do it next year, technically the tax that you're extending doesn't end until 2022, or whether it's a county or a city, the chamber is going to be very interested and work at making sure that we get a little more clarity in how funds are expended so that there's not an annual debate about the proper use of economic development funds. If you're going to call it an economic development sales tax, certain percentage of it should be designated for economic development, and that's kind of our position as the chamber right now.
We have a caller here who has a question or a concern. Let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
I'm so glad that you're interested in the economic opportunities in these desperate times. You know, with distance learning, the teachers not moving around daily, and the students and their families not moving around daily, and the 1,800 K-State employees that are not going to be moving around, and the 22,000 students that are not going to be moving around, no telling how long, maybe next February. But the opportunity is here. I'm back to that economic engine out on I-70. The entrepreneurs here in town demonstrated to you the feasibility of using those circus tents for economic distribution and presentation of their materials. And they didn't have water, like you'll argue with me about your land you got leased out there paying the rent every month at I-70 and 177. And with the country stampede porta potties and the soda machines, you'd be up and running and get that economic opportunity of the disposable income and all those cars going by out there at the interchange that doesn't even know we're here or any of the services in this town. Thank you for putting up with my presentation.
All right. Thank you again for the call. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and have more with Jason Smith from the Manhattan Chamber after this on KMAN.